Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Everybody, and we're going to get right into our discussion. I am, you know, I'm a little bit beside myself right now, you know, because I'm always trying to do this technical stuff, and, you know, I think I know what I'm doing, but then, you know, because I know there's a way that I can do it and it goes smoothly, but hey, every time is always a, you know, something turned the other way. But so Nana, can you hear me on the live? Okay. Well, okay. Thank you. Mhm. All right. So I got my confirmation. I'm being heard on the live. Mhm. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Okay. The first thing I want to say talk about is the Ifa Odus, right? The Ifa Odus are, you know, it gives these different scenarios, these different remedies, these different stories that we call Patakis about when something happened before and what was done. You know, it's like a test. Like a time tested type of information. Like you stump your toe here, and this is what applied to your toe, and because that was applied to your toe got better. And even though it gives these kinds of metaphors and these kinds of solutions, when it carries true, when it realizes, when it actualizes, is when the person actually do the Ebo. That means there was a certain thing done in order to manipulate the energy, so whatever was told to you will work in your case. Okay? The results had been proven already. That's where Ebo comes in. The results proven. And then you work with those results, right? Okay? So you're asking a question. When you go and get a reading, I ask the question here to everybody. Do you get readings just for advice or to solve a problem? You know? And if you're getting reading just for the advice and you don't want to solve the problem, I mean, Ifa is... You know, like the end part of the advice is when you do the Ebo. Okay? I don't know how I mean, some people have the misconception, right, that when you're told something, ifa literally means exactly what is being told to you. Okay? And I'm saying ifa, I'm talking about the oracle in general, whether you're getting a curry shell reading, whether you're getting reading you're just doing OB reading to ask questions, or whether you're getting reading with the kin, and even if you're getting readings with whether it's the Opwele or whether it is the king. So if you're getting a reading with the king, right? Say your destiny reading, for example, and your destiny tells you, oh, you know, this big thing is supposed to happen for you. You're supposed to have money. You're supposed to have this. You're supposed to have that. And you don't, but it would also tell you, listen, in order for everything to go good, you need to do this above and follow these taboos. Then guess what? You don't do the above. You don't follow the taboos. And then you still expect things to go the way Ifa said it should go. Okay? Okay? You don't do the above. You don't follow the taboo, and then you expect things to go the way Ifa said it should go. And it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. If after you got all these things in your head that Ifa told you about you, and then you go run very fast, you know, and even if you think you should do something else, you haven't figured it out completely, and you go run very fast and do the thing that, you know, Ifa told you to do, or you heard in the reading. You run quick and do it. Not prepared for all the things that can happen when you move hastily. Okay? This is what we try to avoid, people. Okay? This is what we try to avoid. I mean, there are some serious cases where people have even lost their lives because they, you know, it's like, okay, let me give you a good scenario. You want to go to Ifa to find out if you can get, if you can even do an Ebo now. This is why you want to know if you can do an Ebo to keep you safe, or you want something from Ifa that is going to keep you safe. Okay? And some rituals were done, everything was done, and Ifa said, okay, you know, you should be safe from getting hurt by metal, okay? Say you're in a war with somebody, and blah, 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 you're prone to accident, Ifa foresee accidents and everything, Ifa tell you to be cautious. You do the Ebo so you don't get caught up with metal, right? Anything with metal. But then you go in the area, you drive carelessly, number one. Okay, say it's a car. And a car is made of metal. You drive carelessly, boom, you get in an accident. Mind you know, you did it both. But you're driving carelessly. You're speeding. Okay? So you don't want to, you might have problems with the law. If I see you having problems with the law. But you thinking, even you did Ebo now. You did Ebo. And you thinking you could just run the red light. Run the red light and you're not going to get a ticket. You're not going to get stopped. The popo not going to see you because you did Ebo and you're invisible. You did Ebo because you want to be the gunman, right? But you don't want the shots from the gun. But you're always going around other people that have guns. You know they have guns because you a gunman and they gunmen, and you're all doing the gun thing, right? And next thing you know, you're shot, right? Oh, all of a sudden, I want to sneeze. All of a sudden, you're blaming the Baba or the Iya that told you such and such, that did a bow for you, then you blame it even the Orisha. Oh, Ogun don't like me. I thought he was my father, but here I am all mashed up. Bullet, you get screws in your leg, everything. Why? Why? Okay? Because you went against, and I like to say, people, I don't care what nobody's saying, Ori is the false Orisha. Right? Ori is the false Orisha. Now, your head have to tell you, I did all of this. Why in the world would I go now and go to the gunfight? Because I know once I'm in the gunfight, I already did that bow. I ain't going to get shoot. But that's the very thing Ifa is trying to show you and protect you from. Like, why do you now take your brain, okay, your own sense, and try to defy Ifa or try to make the efficacy of the work that was done into falsehood? When you yourself now going to assist the enemy, you're going to assist the negative thing. You're going to even do the taboo. You're going to break the taboo just to see what's going to happen. Like me, I'm going to use myself as an example. I always do that, you know. I got initiated in Lukumi, right? And I couldn't wait till my year, my Yawo year, you know, in Lukumi. You stay in the white a whole year and everything. And for some reason, my brain told me that after my year, I was free of my taboos, okay? Especially the food taboos, okay? Food taboos are very important, people. And I just, not too long ago, read something very interesting, and I thought I wanted to look into it more, because I'm like, okay, food taboos. And I'm like, okay, this thing said the reason why you get certain food taboos is part of the ingredients that's in the food, or what the main ingredient that the food is made of, the type of food, is part of the composition of your ori. Now, that is interesting. I want to check that out some more. I didn't have time at the time to really check it out, but, you know, I'm like, okay, I got a lot of stuff in my ori, buddy. I got a lot of taboos. Anyway, so I got the taboo that I shouldn't eat certain kinds of fish. I was allowed to eat fish, but, like, you know, the scavenger fish, like lobster, shrimp, conch, crab, you know, and I'm from the islands. These are island people food. You know, we're surrounded by water. We eat a lot of fish and seafood, you know, all of these things, you know. So anyway, for my, I initially got my Ita on my birthday. Mm-hmm. I was sitting down on the mat on my birthday of my middle day, getting my Ita, you know, and and I'm getting my Ita, and on my birthday, after my Yahweh, I celebrated, you know, my one's boyfriend, he took me to a nice seafood restaurant right on the water in the beautiful British Virgin Islands, Tortola. And I'm there, and they come out with a gigantic lobster, okay? Woo! I went to town on that lobster, let me tell you. But by the time the night rolled in, I had to go to the hospital. Okay? I had gotten poisoned. I had to go to the hospital. Okay? Who never eat lobster after that again is who? Okay? How many years ago that is now? That's like how many? Okay. 25 years ago. Okay? 25 years ago. Okay? And so it is with a lot of other taboos and everything. But this is not about me. You know, I want people to understand that, you know, why it's important to take care of your ori. Why it's important to rationalize things. You don't just jump and do things. I've met a lot of people, and you would think at being a certain age, they would understand that you should do things a certain way. Like when I got ready to move from the Virgin Islands here to the mainland where I live now in Florida, when I got ready to move, I did a reconnaissance mission first. I went by myself. I scouted out everything. I put in job applications. I did this, blah, 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 blah. But the main thing I did was save money for my move. I saved money for my move because I was not sure if I would even get a job, if I would even keep the job. So I said, okay, in case you need money for this length of time that you are able to pay rent, do whatever else you need to do in case you don't have a job by this period of time. So I gave myself a time frame in which to get a job that I know then your money start rolling in, then you can, you're comfortable, you can pay bills, you can do everything. I did not just jump up and say today and then tomorrow I came here, drag my children, everything, and come up here. Mm-mm. No. That's bad choices. That's when the ori is not functioning properly. And sometimes people take these things literally. When if I tell you, oh, it's good for you to move here, you know, here would be good for you to go. Okay? And you drop everything, job, apartment, everything. You drop everything and run. You wasn't even able to take your vehicle with you or anything, you know? And these are things you find yourself meeting more hardship and then you get upset. Oh, man. Ia told me this would be good, but this turning out to be a disaster. Ia didn't tell you drop everything and go there. Ia said to you, it would be good if you go there. So your common sense now is supposed to tell you, listen, okay, let me prepare. Let me prepare myself, you know, how long is it going to take me to get, you know, everything I need so I can make the transition and it wouldn't be difficult for me. Okay? Now, some people got it like that. They can up in a moment's time because, you know, they're maybe financially stable that they can do that. They can up in a moment's time and go and do something, do, you know, make a change very quickly because they have the means to do it. But if you don't have the means to do it, how are you even trying to do it? How are you even trying to do it spur of the moment? You know, people, I've had different people, and I understand that in, you know, people's perception can be off, and that's why when I'm doing a reading for somebody, I afford them the time to ask questions, okay? And knowing the type of person I am, I would go round and round the same question and answer it in many different ways and use many different scenarios so you can understand what I'm actually saying to you. But there is something I would like to discuss with people. And this has to do with when the advice comes out in the readings, right? I learned this lesson a very long time ago. when the sign comes out, and the sign is talking about a particular kind of energy, you know, then the whole reading, even the advice, even though it may sound like you're talking about your foot and in one point about it, next thing you're talking about your stomach, next thing you're talking about the foot of your mama or your daddy, next thing you're talking about the stomach of this other one, next thing you're talking about, you know, and you want to know what all of that got to do with you, what all of that got to do with your foot, when they telling you, look, watch where you going, watch where you going, you are a child of envy and jealousy and all of these type of things, you know, they tell you about these different issues, and yet still, you acting like a whole airhead, and I gotta say it like that, okay? Like a happy-go-lucky person, and you're not paying attention to who paying attention to you. You're not watching who watching you. So they can just up and do you anything, okay? Set traps for you, okay? Even harm you. Because you're not paying attention. You're going to walk right into the trap. People have to learn. Okay, baby, enjoy your day. People have to learn, right? To, you okay? Okay. I'm sorry. People have to learn to, Ashea, Lafia, O'Neill, how are you? People have to learn to not take the interpretations of Ifa, Risha, Egun, whatever, when you get a reading, literally. If you, even if Ifa is telling you something, giving you an answer to a question, you cannot just up and like, oh, you know, like, oh, let me give you a good example. You go, so some people like to talk to their orishas or just talk to their ancestors, and they use different methods to do so, like the OB, you know, and say Eshu, for example, you start to talk to Eshu. Eshu is the deity of open roads and whatnot, right? So you go to Eshu, you say, Eshu, should I go to work today? Eshu say no, right? Guess what? You ain't going to work. Not only are you not going to work, you ain't even bother calling the people telling them you're not coming to work. All you know is Eshu say you don't, you're not going to, you're not supposed to go to work, so you are not going to work, right? Next thing you know, tomorrow come you ask Eshu the same question. Eshu, should I go to work today? Eshu said no. Now, Eshu, remember, Eshu is a trickster now, okay? Because you ain't asking Eshu anything else, like, you know, like, why? And why in the first place? I would say people ask the wrong questions when they go to these, we go get a reading. You ask the wrong question. Okay? You like somebody, right? You go, oh, I like this person, you know? But up to now, the person ain't know but that you like them, but you asking Ifa if you could have this person. But the person don't even know you like them. Because you never even tell them, you know, like, hey, I like you. And give them a chance to say, well, hey, I like you too. You know what I mean? And people do things like this, and I don't want to say it's because they're immature. I don't want to say it's because they don't understand. I really I think it's because people think that people that spirituality is like a magic wand or something that you don't have to use your head, you know. Just like when you go to church, and then you anything the pastor say, he say come to church without your panty, and you go and do it because your vagina need a blessing. I've seen it. You know, I'm not joking. I've seen it. And here, you know, husband and wife go in their wives no panty on, and you know they go there. And the pastor goes dip his hand in the holy water and cross it over the woman's vagina underneath her dress. Oh my God. Okay. And this is the blind obedience, right? The blind obedience that people do, even when it comes to Ifa. And that's because at the time they don't want to do the Ebo. Why? Because the Ebo costs money. The Ebo is a sacrifice. They don't want to do that. But they want to know if they just want clearance. Like, okay, you know you're not supposed to commit murder, but it's like you're asking Ifa, should I go and commit murder? Right? Should I go and kill myself? And then Ifa talking about, you know, the oracle's like, yeah. Why would you ask Ifa if you could murder yourself? You see what I mean? And this is the type of thing that people keep doing. They keep coming to Ifa, getting a reading, and then asking questions that, you know, it's asking questions that, you know, make you want to shake your head like, oh my God. Okay? But it's not the job of the diviner now to go into big, long details with you over, like, for instance, asking you, well, do you have money saved? Do you, are you prepared? You know, all of this type of thing. You know, do you have, do you have people in the place that you're going? You know, who's gonna, you know, where are you gonna be staying? All of these type of things. And normally a lot of people get readings and they have no ties even to the person that they're getting the reading from. Meaning they have no solid relationship with them, no obligations. They just want a reading, okay? So even now when it comes to choice, your Ori is telling you, hey, you know, I don't want to do the Ebo, you know. And it could be many reasons why people refuse to do Ebos, you know. Sometimes they don't put the as a priority. They don't put it as a priority. I mean, I just had somebody that, you know, they're reading, say, you know, they're in danger of premature death, and they don't see where that is important to do the Ebo. Okay, they don't see it. I've seen people that, you know, the Orisha asked them to sacrifice and do a certain thing. Some things as simple as changing your hairstyle, not really cutting it off, changing it, and they refuse. They even got up from the mat and like, hey, no, I ain't doing that. Where are they right now in the ancestral world? In the other world. They're in the other world. Okay? And we do these Ebos so we can do what? Because guess what? We live in a monetary system. Let's face it, people. Okay? Everything we need, if we want to have something in life, we want to have a house, we want a car, even if you want to get a good job, even if you want to, you know, you want to impress another person, you spend money to do all kind of things. Look at the amount of hair those people do. They're not cheap. They're not cheap to do, you know, go get your hair done, It's not cheap to go get your nails done. Okay? Okay? If you want to wear a certain type of clothes, the clothes aren't cheap. You see what I mean? So you spend money all the time. You spend money for house rent, car note, everything. Money is being spent 24/7. But when it comes to your spiritual growth and your personal life, there is like a hesitation, and you put everything first. Everything else is first. So even there's, and I'm using different scenarios as they come up in my head, because, so here is now, for example, if I tell you about premature death, if I'm telling you about Ogun, the god of metal, premature death can come about by accident, illness, different type of things, murder, you know, whatever. There's, you know, a million and one ways to die, okay? And so premature death can come about in many, many ways. And here you go. Well, I'm going to hold off on doing the Ebo right now, because I got to go get in a car and travel to go get my children how many miles away and travel back. And you don't see danger. You don't see what can happen between there and there. All I say, go with the blessings of the Orisha. May you be safe, and may the spirits cover you and your children, that you go and come back safely. And these decisions that people make, okay? Now, guess what? Several times I've had readings, and either like they say, oh, Lord, or even say, hey, somebody trying to kill you, somebody trying to take you out. Somebody trying to take you out, yeah. Do you think I play around with that? I do not hesitate with that. If you tell me anything like that, okay, I start moving around money like, okay, you can wait, this can wait, that can wait, that can wait, and I put that as my priority, because guess what? If, perhaps, if anything, you know, and I'm not, I don't want to wash my mouth on anybody, because if anything can happen, okay, anything can happen. And I think about that. I always think about Bob Marley. Bob Marley said anything can happen because they got so much trouble in the world. So much. Right? Anything can happen. So here you go now. Ignoring the evil, ignoring what was said. If I said to you, you just have one thing in your mind, you know, you want to do this. Okay? The lady that wouldn't cut her hair, she wouldn't cut off her hair. I mean, she didn't have to cut it. At one point, she didn't have to cut it. If I just wanted her to change her hairstyle, you know, she always wore her hair down and it was very long. She had dreadlocks. So it was an offense to her. She, you know, she was even like, no, I'm not cutting my dress. Nobody told you. If I didn't tell you, cut it, really. It's a change your hairstyle. If you felt the only way for you to change your hairstyle was cutting it, well, you know, that's what got her all bent out of shape, you know? And in the end, before she died, she couldn't even prevent it from being cut because it was laborious and tiresome to take care of when she was in the hospital in a coma. And they ended up cutting it in order to keep it clean, to keep her head clean. Yeah. So these things are not, they're not You know, I don't know. You know, nobody's trying to answer this question. Do you come to Ifa? Do you get a reading? It's not just Ifa, but any from anybody. Do you get readings just to hear the advice, just to get advice on things to do? I mean, you can get an ordinary consultation from anybody, like a consultant. I do consulting. You know, when people just call me and they just ask a question and you're not getting no reading. I do consulting. Okay? You just ask the questions, you get your answer, and you know, and if you want to say, the main thing I like to tell people when you're asking questions, right, be very specific and be very clear. Would such and such be in your best interest? And if it says yes, in what way? In what way would such and such be in your interest? You see, because things work different for different people. I know some of you, like, you know, you just thinking, well, hey, I just want to do what I want to do. Ashe, Efemina, yeah, I wish you can join me sometimes. You know, there's my sister from Nigeria. She is all about Ifa psychology, and she talks very much about Ori. You know, y'all can look her up, Efemina Alitor, you know, young sister, very young sister, but she brings out these information about Ori. You know, she got a good coach, you know, and her dad, you know, he's somebody I respect and admire somewhat. You know, well, her dad name is again, oh, my God, my boy, his name is, I don't want to say the wrong person. I think that's her dad. Okay, well, let me make sure, because maybe she mentioned that he was her dad one time. I'm not sure. But, you know, these people are looking at Ifa of, I mean, an Ifa, any type of spirituality with a connection to the Ori, right? With a connection to the head. We got to get this together. Do a lot of head cleanings. Do a lot of praying to your Ori, even if you got to beg your Ori, say, you know, Ori me, please, you know, this is, you hold it like this. And you go, Ori me, you know, please steer me in the right direction. Help me to make the right decision. Help me to meet the right people. Help me to be in the right place. Ashe, solves easy. Just like that. Give it thanks to your Ori, okay? Because it's your Ori first is who is it? That's the first Orisha, okay? You know, that's Ori always had the last say, you know. And my sister, Ibaye Bayetuno, my little sister Nicole, she would always say that to me. When I am trying to give her an advice, she would say, well, Ori had the last say. I say, yes, I know Ori had the last say. In other words, don't take my advice if you don't want to. Right? When you hear me say Ibaye Bayetuno, guess what? That means she's not in our living world right now. She's not in our living world right now. And I always remember the people who I'm not attributing their death to the lack, but it's actually to the lack of understanding, the lack of doing a book, the lack of, you know, taking initiative on their own, even after receiving counseling from Ifa to do something, or the misunderstanding of taking things very literal, you know, that Ifa say run and you run. Okay? May their spirits rise, you know, and may, when they come again, may their lesson be learned already so they wouldn't go through the same thing again. Okay, you go and you do whatever you feel like doing. I mean, in the simplest way, because it's not just the readings that give you cues. You know, even I just had a sister, you know, that she went on a trip, and she was supposed to do Ebo before she went on the trip. She didn't do the Ebo because she didn't even think about it. She was just happy to go on the trip. And then, you know, she was, you know, I don't know if she was robbed or if she lost her purse with everything, all her documents, her paper, her money, and everything. And when you know, my spirit tell me, okay, maybe check her ETA, you know. And it was right in ETA. Anytime you're going on a trip, do Ebo. And they specified what type of Ebo she needed to do. And we be wondering, like, okay, why Eva putting us through all this harassment? Why I got to do Ebo? When this and this and this and this and this and this. Every morning, or every day, rather, because sometimes I don't do it in the morning. But before I step out my door, I make prayers and I throw water to freshen my path and my road. Right? Because I don't want to be careless and next thing you know, I meet up on some misfortune because it was already there waiting for me. When Eshu had already gone out ahead of me, scout it out, clear the path, and let me go about my way, doing what, you know, what I need to be doing and getting through with what I need to get through with, right? Okay? And that is the issue. That is the issue. Okay? Now, yes, Ebo was supposed to be done. Even sometimes people do Ebo, but then they do the Ebo as if they're daring you, the person that did the work for them, to be wrong, okay, and to, you know, later become embarrassed. Because you're going to be embarrassed in front of Orisha, and you're going to be embarrassed in front of the person when you just act so irrational. Okay? And like, you know, yeah, I think you're going to look like really stupid in front of people because even to the Orisha, when you do things like that and then you see they turn out funny. The turnout, you know, is like, you know, why did I even, you know, you start saying, oh, you know, why did I even get a reading? Why did I even ask a question? Why did, you know, you start questioning everything? Why did I do something? You're not questioning anything except you're questioning everything except yourself. Mm-hmm. You're questioning everybody except yourself, right? Okay? So people need to understand that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. So Block Talkers, nobody have any questions. Everybody got there. Everybody listening. Okay, you're listening to True Talks with Ofeofe, and our subject is entitled Ifa Orisha Egun Readings, Literal or Not, right? So what does Ori have to do with the literal language, right, used during a spiritual consultation? Okay? What does Ori have to do with literal language? And you ask yourself that question, right? What does Ori have to do with literal language, people? Okay? Meaning, well, how are you going to, if I sometimes give us metaphors, right, in order to show us how something goes, okay? If I sometimes uses metaphors to show us how things go. But here now you translate it in a different way. You take it to mean exactly what was said, okay? Like, for example, you know, I like this one, you know? The rat ate the elephant bit by bit. What the hell? A rat eating an elephant bit by bit? What the hell? What does that mean? Okay? What does that mean? Taking something, being patient, like, you know, they say in the Yoruba, so So, Ruru, you be patient, okay? And you accomplish a great task. You know what it is for a freaking rat to eat an elephant? Huh? You can't even imagine. I mean, you comprehend in your mind, like, how did a rat eat an elephant? Oh, my God. Okay? And still remain a rat, you know? You see? A little rat. A rat, you know, even if it's one of them big rats, or them bush rats that they have in Nigeria, right? Even if it's a bush rat, and the bush rat eating the elephant, you eating the rat get no fatter. The rat is not going to turn into an elephant because it's bit by bit by bit by bit by bit. And guess what? That doesn't mean that the rat killed the elephant either. You know what I mean? The rat just know the elephant did to eat, so the whole rat and the rat family, everybody going to eat it, right? Everyone dead, they're going to get eat. Them along with the vultures, the lions, and everybody else. Go eat the elephant. You see what I mean? Talking about taking your time to accomplish something magnificent. And that's one of the big issues that we're having here in Ifan Original Life today, where people, right? Yet people don't want to take time to get to understand the Orisha, to get to even understand themselves in the spiritual life. Like, you know, what is your purpose? What is your destiny? And even when they're told their destiny, they don't think it's very important enough to follow, to really understand it, to the fullness of it. Because it might start off by being just a few words, you know, a couple pages maybe if you're lucky, of telling you about your life, your do's and don'ts and stuff like that. But then when you look over time, one word can turn out into a whole story about you. Right? Excuse me. And you don't even know. Oh, I didn't bring my water. Yeah, you didn't even know. Okay. And, you know, it's not that I'm here chastising anybody, you know, in terms of how whatever mistakes they have made, you know, with Ifa, with Orisha Egun, after having a reading, what mistakes they've made and all these type of things. Because, you know, people have genuine issues when they do come to get a reading. They have genuine issues and genuine concerns, right? But we have to learn to sit down and think rationally about what it is we want to do. And a lot of times, people, one thing I want everybody to understand is this. Don't go get a reading if you're not willing to do the Ebo or if you're not prepared to do the Ebo. Whatever the Ebo is, don't get a reading. Okay? Sometimes even people don't get readings till, you know, prevention is better than cure, people. People don't get readings until, you know, basically their back is against the wall. Okay? Their back against the wall, something serious, very serious is taking place, right? And they want it solved. But if you're spiritual people, right, if you're spiritual and you're endeavoring to be spiritual, then get spiritual. Don't use spirituality as only a means to get out of something. Take it seriously. Ingrain it in your life. Let it become a part of your life. You know? And I'm not talking about being a fanatic or anything. I'm talking about being comfortable in your spiritual skin. Okay? Okay? It's just like when you're heavy, you know, when you're heavy set. And some people heavy set, but they're uncomfortable. They got a lot of people that comfortable in their heavy body. And even if they're uncomfortable, they can handle the discomfort, right? The same way you bring the Orisha into your life, and some people don't want Orisha because I had one person tell me, you mean I got to take care of this every week? I'm like, hey, do I have to do that? You know what I mean? I'm like, what the? I'm like, why are you even here? You know, I got to take care of this every week. I got to do this every week. Okay. People get their Ori icon. They don't see, some people don't like to pray. Some people don't see the need for it. I don't call it prayer. I call it connecting. Connect with yourself. Okay? Connect with your higher self, that invisible self. Like the Yoruba say, your enikeji, your twin spirit. Connect with that and feel comfortable with that. Because we know that everything is started with a thought, right? It comes from somewhere. Where it comes from? In your consciousness, right? So everything started with a thought, and what you're going to do now? You ain't giving the place or the deity that created the thought, that had the thought first. Any kudos, any praises, especially when you get these magnificent ideas, especially when you have certain ashe, like you're an artist. Okay, you're somebody who got words, you're a poet, you're a designer, you know, it can be. And they just have the spirit for it, right? Okay, and you're not given this, the ultimate of the ultimate, right? The honors, right? And that's why I say, you know, not only that your Ori, your head, is the first Orisha. I'm not the only one that says that, you know, Ifa says that, right? Ori, as the only Orisha, come with you when you're born and leave with you when you die. Stay by your side until when you die, you go back or meet your twin, right? The other Orisha, don't care if they're your quote-unquote head Orisha, your crowned Orisha, whatever you want to call it. They come and go. They interact. Many Orisha can interact with you. Oh, many, many, many. Okay? Many, many, many. At one point or the other, you know, sometimes even the Orisha can switch up on you. When I say switch up on you, say, Oshun is your mother, right? And you get initiated. Oshun comes first, right? Then you get a next initiation. They tell you, no, Ogun comes first. You see? So they switch place. Oshun go take the back seat, and here come Ogun running things. You see? So the energy, these things can happen. Okay? And, you know, it's so proven that I remember I met priestess from Candomblé, you know, that Brazilian Orisha practice, right? I met her. She was basically a high priestess. She was a friend of one of my mason when I was in college, right? And she looked at me and she couldn't figure out if I was Oya or Oshun, right? So she asked me, are you Oya or Oshun? I said, I am Oshun. She said, whoa, but I see Oya with you so strongly. I say, yes, Oya even said that. She's with me very strongly, right? Prayerful Oya. right? She said that Oya is with me very strongly. And when you look around, Babalawo, I went to read, you know, it had nothing to do with Orisha, Oya, and what I wanted to know if Oya was my thing. But I went there for another reason, and he just took one look at me like, I mean, you know, are you Oya? And I'm like, no, I'm Oshun. He said, look at you. You look at how you're dressed. You know, you always got on, like, you know, mixed colors, blending colors and stuff, and that's me for real. You know, I live in, like, a lot of earth tones and whatnot. Right? And then he checked with Ifa. Ifa said, hey, no, hey. Oh, yeah, trying to get a seat up here now. Okay? So they go, the Orisha go, and they, you know, they come with you. They do with you, you know, according to your needs. Right? But Ori sticks with you. So you got to learn how to work with that first and foremost. Okay? And Ori is also about creative speech. You know what creative speech means? Huh? Creative speech. Okay? Yaya, Ashe. How are you, my beautiful sister? Okay, we have somebody have a question here. How do we call in to speak? Okay, that number is, I'm going to tell you right now. That number is, I should know it by heart, but I don't. Let me give you that number that you can call in to speak. You call 563-999-3067, and then you press 1. Let me put the number here in the queue for you guys on the live, 563-999-3067. I would really appreciate some interaction here because, you know, people being closed mouth today, right? Blog Talk people, okay. I got somebody got a hand raised right here. Area code 845. You're on the air with True Talk with Ofeofe.
Hello.
Hello there.
Aboro Boye.
Ashe Oboato. Ashe Oboafun.
Hi, this is Iya Isamodupwe. Iya Yaya. How are you, Iya?
Ashe. I am fine, thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, thank you for having the show. You know, I normally listen, so this is my first time calling in. So I appreciate you and thank you for having these kind of talks that are really needed in the Ifa and Orisha community. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. It's my pleasure to do it, you know. You know what they say, right? Whatever work you do, you express love with it. The better you do it, the more love you are expressing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, I just wanted to call in to speak on your question in regards to, let me see if I see it. Do you consult Ifa? Do you consult Ifa for either advice or problem?
Yes.
So I feel like I do both. In terms of advice, you know, I've been an Ifa devotee for about 4 years, and I just recently initiated this year. And so lots of times I found myself, you know, when I was wet behind the ears, so to speak, I would ask advice that I already knew the answer to.
Okay.
So I feel, and I've had conversations with people about this. So what I learned is that it's really important because a lot of people tend to run to Dafa for answers that they already know. And sometimes they just want confirmation on things that they know better than. And so what I learned is that Ori is the thing that will give you, that's like your first line of defense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I learned to seek my Ori first, And that's the trivial things. You know, I would go to Ifa for advice on serious things, like should I move to another state? Should I take this job? Life-changing things, you know, not things that, you know, do I go on this date this evening or, you know, something trivial like that, right? So I go to Ifa for advice. I would also go to Ifa for problems, but I feel like one thing that people miss about going to Ifa is for counsel, right? There may not be anything happening. You may not have something that you need help on deciding, and you may not have a problem, but I think it's really important to just check in with Ifa because Ifa knows the past, present, and the future. So there may be something coming up ahead that you may not know about. And so it's okay to, I find that it's helpful to check in with Ifa just, you know, just for counsel, just to see if there's anything that is up ahead that I may need to be privy to. Yeah. So that's the first thing I wanted to touch on, listening to you. The second thing that I learned that was really important is that whenever I go for a dafa and I sit on the mat and something comes in what we would call ayebo, some people say EB, some people say ashobo, but, you know, the opposite of ere. The first thing that I do is I ask myself thing that I could do on a practical level to change that. Is there a character, you know, a behavior that I can change, a way of thinking that I can change? I feel like lots of times people go straight to the Ebo and they just want the Orisha to fix things. And I think it's our responsibility when we are consulting Ifa is to first look at ourselves when something comes and, you know, something comes with Ayero and see what we can do on a practical level to change that.
Okay. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. And a lot of people don't do that, though. A lot of people don't do that, you know, because, I mean, the part of the biggest Ebo you can ever do is adjustment in your character, how you, you know, react to things, how you go about things, whether you prepare for things, whether you think you can handle it, is there something you can do? People don't barely ask that question. Is something I need to do? Even if you tell them, like, I have a habit of prescribing Ebos that I know that people can do themselves. Right? And I practice it all the time. I'm like, okay, go do this. Go do this to your head. Go do that. Go do that. Because I know if they get that straightened out, it would handle the problem. If I would say it right there, the Oduz would come out and say, "Okay, yes, that's fine. Go ahead. That's is that what would solve the problem? Yes." So that they don't have to do like these very big Ebos. But most often, people come to get a reading when they're at the crossroads. They don't do any preventative. They don't do any introspect. And even when they ask for advice, they don't follow the advice in a very prudent kind of way. You know, their actions sometimes are haphazard. If you tell them jump off the bridge, they're going to jump right off the bridge. They don't know if there's a safety mat down there, a getaway boat or something. They just jump off the bridge. And this is the thing that we're trying to get people to out of the habit of doing, you know, out of the habit of just not using their own logics, you know. It's the same thing that people do when they go in the church. That's why we find a lot of our Christian brothers and sisters very arrogant, and they're very like, oh, no, you know. They're against everything. It's like they're living with their eyes shut. Okay? Because when you show them something different, they're like, no. okay, my pastor says this or the Bible says this, and without even fully understanding what is actually what the meaning of it is. You know, it's like blind obedience, you know? Like they leave their brain outside of the church. When they go into church, they don't have a brain.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, you see? So people got to be very careful, especially with the literal translations of Ifa. Is it meaning exactly what Ifa say, or is there something more deeper behind of it? So earlier I was explaining to how I came to a realization about when you get a reading with Ifa or any other, any reading, I will say any reading, whether it's with any device, with the kin, whatever, that we live in such a complex world, and how our creative speech, even our thoughts, become manifest, right? Okay? But there's a type of order to it. It's not just haphazard thinking. Like, you know, 1 minute you're thinking, yes, I can do it. The next minute you're thinking, no, I can't do it. The other minute you're going back to, yes, I can do it. And the universe is listening to you every time, right? But which gets your response? Which response do you get? Whichever one you focus on the most. It's just natural law. Whatever you focus on the most is what you're going to get. Okay?
Yes. It's
so the
mind
time
is very strong.
Say that again?
I've said that the Ori is very strong in that way, you know, when it comes to manifestation.
Oh, yeah, that's why we human beings are creators in our own right. We create, if we think about a light, we want a chandelier, we create one. We think about a house, we create one. We think about an airplane, we create it. We think about a car, anything. We think about a certain style of clothing, we create it. We think about whatever, we want to cook a certain type of food, we create it. We do all these things. We even take trees and other living things and create things out of them. We even create things out of our own selves, too. Okay? So we are creative, and that's the energy that we have, all of us, inside of us. So you creating your reality at the same time, we're making a lot of mistakes because we focus on the opposite or the negative thing too much. Okay? Okay? And that's not to say that, and the focus, listen to this, the focus is not your, it's not just you, right? You get me? It's not just you.
Yeah.
When you think about something, you think it's only you thinking about that thing? It got so many other people thinking about that thing, positively or negatively. And that's what the universe is hearing. You know, like, you hear a bunch of, and then you hear,
it's a vibration. Absolutely.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So what I'm saying, too, is that the sequences of information that you get in a reading, right? It starts out with a main theme. It's almost like you're writing, you're creating a masterpiece, or you're writing a letter. You know, you have the outline, right? And then you follow the outline. The first thing you're going to talk about is this, then this, then this, then this. But even though it doesn't seem like that when you're getting a reading, because it jumps around, you know, from one thing to the next, but all those things are still connected to the main theme, the main theme of the reading, whatever it is. Am I with you with this? You with me with this? What I'm thinking? Yes.
I know it for a fact. Absolutely. This is why.
And
yeah, it's really important to write down the dafas, because I feel like the dafas, align us, whether we initiated or not. The Dark Father or it always trying to align, keep us in alignment with our purpose. You
That's
know?
Right.
And
That's
so
right.
we're getting those mm-hmm. messages, and people are so, I mean, you know, when we receive our Odu, there's so many standards and so many messages. I mean, you could spend your whole life studying your Odu, but the Dark
exactly.
Father will always give you that guidance and those tidbits to keep you in alignment with, even your Ori does it, because there were a lot of things, decisions that I made prior to being initiated where I said, wow, that my Ori had already led me in that direction before even knowing that that was my Odu, that, you know, that was a part of my destiny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? So I feel like, you know, it's really important to – it is. It's amazing, and that's why I feel Ifa is such a – I'm very grateful
Ifa
because
is awesome.
I grew up
– Ifa is
yes,
awesome.
Absolutely, and I'm grateful
like
because it could have been 20 years before I found Ifa. You know what I mean? And there's so many
mm-hmm.
people, and I'm not knocking anyone else's religion, but to have a practice where you are tapping back into your destiny, that connects so many pieces and takes so much of the guesswork out of life to be able to tap
mm-hmm.
into something like that and to be able to give you E-Ray, not just blessings, because my understanding of E-Ray is not that you're blessed, but E-Ray is to live harmoniously, right? That's my understanding of what E-Ray is. You know what I mean?
I see.
Like when someone
mm-hmm.
says, you know, the E-Ray of long life, you can live until you're 100, but if you fall sick at 70 and you're blind at 80 and you can't walk at 85, is that really, if you're unhealthy in mostly of your old
yeah.
age, is that really the E-Ray of long life? Right?
Yes,
so
I get you.
Ifa doesn't promise that we will never go through trials and tribulations, but Ifa does say that as long as we do our above, we will overcome obstacles. And it just means that we will be able to ride the waves, so to speak, a lot better with having that guidance from Ifa.
I share. You know, that is so right. That is so right, you know, because it's so much about how we mold our character and how we work with our Ori, because a lot of us work, and it's not to say that we don't make mistakes, you know, because, you know, we are human. We do make mistakes, but then you don't want to be making mistakes over and over the same mistake. You don't want to be making a mistake because there are so many mistakes we could make. We could make many, many, many mistakes. But we don't want to make the same mistake over and over and over and over and over. We need to learn from our mistakes, you know? And
yes,
I don't know how people feel about the Ori, because even Ori, you know, we have a big debate about people that work directly with their head without you know, any other icon or anything, because, you know, the Ori icon is a hot number out right now for people. Many people have Ori icons. They're beautifully made and all of these things. And I, you know, I want to do a show on that. I need to do a poll on that for real. Like, you know, what do you feel about Ori? You know?
I think that
mm-hmm.
that would be excellent. Because I've had that discussion with some people, but I don't think it's any different than having a pot for Oshun. Like, you can go to the waters, you can go to the fresh waters, you can go to the crossroads, but
exactly.
you still have an icon
that
for Oshun.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
You think like me. Cause that's what I'm saying. If you arguing, like for some people, if you're arguing against the Ori icon, because I'm for the Ori icon. I myself am for the Ori icon, and I have my Ori icon, and I work with my Ori icon. My Ori icon stays on top of, right over my bed when I, you know, when I sleep at night. And
If you get an Ori icon, I mean, that's like you said, you can go to the river for Oshun. You can go to the mountain for Obatala. You know, you can go to the palm tree for Shango. You know, and you could go to the iron heap for Ogun. You know, and different places. You could go in the forest for Osain. You know, you can go any, you know, do these things. You can in nature. So
exactly,
there's no difference. Yeah, but I find that the Ori icon serves as a conduit, like a transmission of messages, as of any kind of icon. That why even get the igi for your egun, the stick? Why even get the stick if you know your ancestors, where are you seeing them? Well, where's the representation? That's what I'm talking about. We know we have an enikeji. We know we have a twin soul, but do we see our twin soul? We don't see our twin soul.
No.
We know Ochun's energy is alive, but do we basically see it? I've seen, for instance, some wonderful things happen when I go to the riverside. I've gone to the river and I've seen a school of fish come up to me. I've gone to the river and seen manatees. I've gone to the river and seen vultures, which is my path for Oshuni Bukule, flying right over me. And guess what? In the so-called number related to Oshun, which is number 5, right? So I see all of this. And I'm like, okay, when I pay attention, I say, oh, wow, Oshun is present, because there's symbolism that represents that. And, you know, all of this is part of how, like you say, the vibratory energy gets out there. The vibration gets out there. That's when you feel like, okay, listen, my prayers are being heard. My words are being heard, you know, but they're being heard all the time, because it's not only you, you know, it's not only you.
Okay.
It's all of us, you know. So you guys, you've been listening to Ifa Orisha Egun Talks on True Talks with Ofe Ofe. And we're talking about literal or not literal readings. How do you take it? How do you take it? And this one, sister here, pardon me, give me your name again.
My name is Yao. My Ifa name is Ifa Modupwe.
Oh, Ifa Modupwe. Ifa, thanks you. Oh, my God.
Ifa, thanks.
Oh, my God.
That is correct. My Odu is Otororete, which I'm not afraid to say. Some people, I don't know why some people have a big thing about saying their Odu, but
man,
I wasn't,
so
you know.
Open-minded, I am too, but when you talk about your Odus and stuff like that, you learn stuff. When you say your Odu, you learn stuff about your Odus, you know? You learn about your Odus. So this is, did you have, that's your Ishefa or your Itefa Odu? Which
that
one
is my Itefa. Itefa.
Your Tefa. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is
when I received
Odu.
My
okay.
full initiation, that was my Odu to show gratitude to Ifa. That is a part of my Ire, is to show gratitude.
I
find really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny because 2 years prior to that, one of the Odus that I would recite as a morning prayer was a Tororete.
What? Seriously?
Yeah, absolutely,
hey.
Absolutely. And it came as my Odu. Can I tell you something? And
you
I don't want to go
so.
Left with this, but I just. So in 2021, I lost a child. I lost my only child. Okay.
Yes.
And
yes.
I received a dafa. And how about the dafa that came was a Tororete.
Whoa.
And yes. And in that moment, I was, you know, just like any grieving mother, I was in bed. I wouldn't get out. you know, I was really in deep mourning. Mm-hmm. And so I received the Dafa Akora Rete, and I was told Olodumare says stick close to him, and that, you know, there are plenty of things, still a lot of things for you to be grateful for. And so in that moment, as I was listening, I'm saying to myself, I just lost my only child. What is there possibly to be grateful for? At that time, I didn't even understand what was the reasoning behind that. Mm-hmm. How is that going to help me?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say probably the third or fourth month in my grieving, I had decided that I actually want to push forward, but I didn't know how. And mm-hmm. so I said, well, you know what? What I'm going to do, because it's really hard for thoughts of gratitude and thoughts of negativity to exist in the same at once, is what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I got up one morning and I said, you know what? Every morning I'm going to think of one thing to be grateful for. I'm not going to focus on what mm-hmm. I don't have. I'm going to focus on what I do have. And mm-hmm. gradually every day I would find myself getting stronger, getting out of bed, doing a little more. And so it was that gratitude that brought me out. Because, you know, we're going to always mourn the ones that we lost, right? But
mm-hmm.
just that being
mm-hmm.
deep into grief and not living, it was saying those affirmations of gratitude on a daily basis that,
mm-hmm.
you know, has me here 2 years later. Because there, you know, when my daughter first passed away, there were groups
mm-hmm.
that I would end with grieving mothers. And today, those
yes.
mothers are
yes.
still in their bed, and I am not. I went and got a
initiated.
And I know that it was because of Olodumare's instruction to be grateful.
That's right. That's right. And, you know,
and so
you did go,
when
you
I got
know.
Initiated, a Torah Rete came again.
Wow. Hey, I know. So I see your conviction, you know, because over time, this is what I said earlier to people, that they have to bring the spirituality, that it becomes a part of them, not having it being something only when you need something or only when you want to get something, you run, go get a reading, or when there's something bad happening, you run, go get a reading. And the whole time, your spirituality, you can be, you know, ingrained in it, build it into you so you feel comfortable. You don't have to be a fanatic or anything. Okay? Now, in the world, I would not ever say that I would have had as many Orishas as I lived with, okay? I would not say that I would even be having had different types of entities, deities, or divinities that I deal with, from voodoo, you know, to the Inkizi, to this one, to that one, to the Orisha. You understand? And I'm comfortable with all of them. Like, they come to me. Like, okay, she can handle it. Let's, okay. Okay? But then, when you're talking about synchronicities and things that happen, especially with Ifa, you must be able to see your life, how these things end up being a part of your life and why they end up being a part of your life. Right?
Because
half the time you don't even ask for it. Sometimes you don't even ask for it. Sometimes it's already written in your destiny for these things to happen. You see? But a lot of people, when they come confronted with it, yeah, because I said people don't come to Ifa unless Ifa, that was they were supposed to, because look how many people there are in the world. If that were the case, if everybody was supposed to have come to Ifa, they would come to Ifa. They would come to Ifa. If every single body, some people don't even know what Ifa is. You know, they think it's that the industrial thing, the IFA, when you look IFA, that's industrial, like some mathematical computations you're finding.
You have to actually say Yoruba Ifa or West African Ifa or something in order for you to find it. Right?
Right.
But,
correct.
But people need to, you know, really open up their hearts and accept things, accept that, you know, our own Ori is what carries out the vibrations that we get, you know. And when I say our own Ori, you and whoever else on the same vibration with you. So if you're vibrating with in the negative, like, you are the exception. You're the exception because your vibration left was emanating gratitude and you were getting it back, and the other people in the group, their vibration was still on the same thing. You know, the grief, you know?
Yeah.
And I have,
absolutely,
I have such,
yeah,
you see? So I appreciate you so much, and I thank you for asking that question because it's very important, you know? It's very important for people to understand how much they already play a part in what happens to them, notwithstanding what Ifa said, what they get in any other type of reading, you know, you have to, you know, be able to work with this right here, buddy, that head right there. And if you know it's not
too
good,
Can I just share something about Ori that I think people miss too?
Okay.
Here's the thing. I want to share this short story. When I was about 7 or 8, I lived close to the ocean. I lived out in Far Rockaway, Queens, and I almost drowned in that ocean. And now moving along as a mom when my daughter was younger, probably when she was about 9 or 10, she expressed wanting to go to the local pool with a couple of friends. And at first, you know, because she was the only child, so at first I told her no, I didn't want her going. And then I realized, you know, she was kind of feeling left out because all her friends were going. And so I decided to let her go, but there was always this anxiety around it. And I wasn't into Ifa practice then, but if I was, I would have thought that was my Ori speaking. But in all actuality, it wasn't. It was the trauma of me almost drowning that was coming to surface, right? So I say all of that to say is that sometimes we mistake the messages that we get, the things that play out in our mind, as our Ori speaking when it's actually trauma. And I think that sometimes people, the reason why they go to Dafa so quickly is because their Ori is bogged down with so much trauma. So it's really important for us to therapy, go to counseling and unpack the baggage, because lots of times the baggage and the fears and the trauma can block those spiritual messages from coming through as they're supposed to. You know, I think that we, you know, like I said, the messages that we get can be, the more trauma we have, the more distorted that those messages can be, you know. And it's really important, you know, I see people just do. I have a friend now that does a million and one Iboris. Every time I turn around, I want to head feed him, but it's not solving the problem because he has trauma from childhood. And I keep telling him, you have to go to counseling. I don't care how many Iboris you do. You have things going on with you that's causing you to drink, that's causing you to do all of these different things, you know?
That's
where the practical, again, we're talking about spirituality versus practical work, which must go hand in hand. You must do the practical things, or it doesn't matter
With anything. You got to be practical. I mean, even for a simple thing like, okay, you want to make a life change, and you did the Ebo for making a life change, but yesterday you didn't do the practical work that, you know, like, you know, you're going to live someplace else. You didn't check to see if, is it safe? You know, what can I get there? What can I do there? You understand? What is the weather like there? What is, you know, you don't check anything. Does it have, you know, good neighbors? They, you know, do they have war? Do it have anything going on that I know I don't want to be a part of? But yes, so if I tell
right.
you yes, it's good for you to go there. But that don't mean that you shouldn't just drop everything and you go on there. No, you know, you're not prepared. You ain't got no money. You go there, you're depending on the
right.
people. You know, that's the whole thing right there. That's the whole
yes.
thing.
Ashe, it's really
mm-hmm.
important
mm-hmm.
I learned to use this discernment. You know,
that's
discernment
right.
and common
you know?
Sense. You know, they say common sense is not so common.
Sister, let me tell you, I done dub Ori the Odu of common sense, Ori real name. Okay? The Odu of common sense. Okay? But when people ask me how much Odu they got, they tell them 257. It's a 256 plus one. And that one actually come at the beginning.
Common
Odu
sense.
Of common
Ashe.
Sense. And there are Odus, like, for instance, in Ogunda D, you know, and this was from Oshun message. Oshun say, listen, don't ask what you already know.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
I was told that. And I was told that very
no.
early on as an inside devotee. Mhm.
Yeah. You asked me something you don't know already. Why? 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 You just would like to hear the Baba or the Iya talking? Why are you asking that question? Sometimes you ask questions
right.
and you know for example. I mean, I get, you know, because I do readings all the time. So I get people asking me some things that, you know, in their mind, you know, well, they did not think this true at all. Otherwise, they wouldn't be asking a question.
Ashe, yeah. It's funny you would say that because I was taught that early on. You don't ask what you already know, and you also don't ask Ifa to give you permission on things that are unethical.
And
I was told, do not corrupt your Ifa.
A lot of people, that's why I say they want me to be like a devil's advocate for them with Ifa. I'm like, you know what? You want to know if it's okay for you to take the gun, okay, to go rob
right.
somebody. What? Then what happened if the other person ever going to shoot you behind? Why are you crazy? Why are you asking me that? Okay? You know,
correct.
I got to do this, you know. I got to make a little run, you know. And, you know, I just want to know if I'm going to be safe, you know. When you're going to sell drugs and you want to know if you're going to be safe. Okay?
Absolutely not. You know, like, I am in the training stages of Omo Awo, and what I was taught is that taboo will always enforce itself. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but it will definitely, you know, you can't get away with breaking taboo forever. And
I'm going to tell you something very simple about those breaking taboos. And you're right with what you say. Taboo will enforce itself. Okay, so I have a curfew on eating, right? And sometimes I get like a sweet tooth something late at night. So I'll be like, oh, man, I just need something. Let me tell you, if I go and eat that something, I pay for it right away. The next day, I either got a tummy ache or a headache or something, and I'd be saying, oh, God, why did you even, why? And it seems so simple. Because after you do it, you're like, oh, okay, I feel good now. I can go to sleep. Next thing you know, you get up with a tummy ache. You get up with a headache. I'm like, oh, girl, these taboos are kicking my behind, buddy. I really got to get straight.
Yeah.
You understand? Because as you get older too, and I'm not saying I'm not without, because I know people can break the taboos, and sometimes it even be that you don't even remember it was your taboo. Some people don't remember. I just had a sister. She went on a trip, and her Odu says distinctly, you're going to take a trip, do this kind of Ebo first before you go on any trip. Right? Like, you know, you got to travel on a plane, go a far distance, whatever. And she totally forgot. She totally forgot, went on her merry way, and then lost her all her credentials, everything, all her money.
Wow.
Yes, at the very beginning of the trip. You know? And more, she was worried about all her credentials. She had her credit cards and everything. And she was so worried. She said, man, you know how difficult it is to get these things back? You know, and
you know,
I was so sad.
Even in that, she's still got to be grateful, because some taboos, you break them, and that could mean equal.
So I spoke about that earlier. Even when,
you know,
sometimes
some,
the lack
you never
of
know.
Food at both.
Yeah, and you never know. So this is why I you know, like you said, I'm not perfect either, and sometimes I may feel like one of my taboo, I have color taboo, no red and black. And when I tell you, after I got initiated and I went in my closet and I seen the amount of black and red, I said, this is going to be costly. To it was like that. I didn't realize I had so much of it until I couldn't wear it. I felt like I couldn't wear anything.
But I know
that there is a reason for it. And I think the black taboo is really a difficult one because,
that's a standard color. You can match that with anything.
And,
you know,
especially when you go into gatherings and, you know, you go to a funeral and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I put on my navy blue and I try to work around it. But it's rough, but I do know that Ifa, they call Ifa the Iliri Ipuin for a reason.
That's right.
To everyone's destiny, the witness of beginning and end of things. And
that's right. Mm-hmm.
He can see what I can't. And so I'm pretty sure there's a lot of things that we wouldn't, there's a lot of consequences that we wouldn't want to meet behind these taboos. You know, and again, like one of the biggest ways that I show gratitude to Ifa is to respect those things. Because again, not everyone has the privilege of being redirected and saved from these things, right? So, the taboos are not hard. Taboos are not easy to deal with, but, you know, it's trusting and having faith in Ifa, knowing that what he is instructing to you to do or not do is not punishment. It may feel like it because we're so accustomed to the things we're accustomed to, right? We don't like to change.
Mm-hmm.
But what it could cost in the end, you know, who knows
that may be. That's like me and a simple thing like, you know, I have a lot of food taboos, but cornmeal and corn products. I mean, everything practically have corn in it, but cornmeal, you know, that was something that I would even, like growing up, it would be like a porridge for me to eat. You know, my mother cooked it for us, you know, I mean, it's so delicious. And then our national dish is like fish and fungi, which is turned cornmeal, right? So you
I was
going to
say that.
Yeah.
Because I know you're from the Caribbean, so when you said corn at the table,
yes.
I said, uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, you know, I can't eat no more corn. People can't perceive that. What? You can't eat? They're like, what? For real? I'm like, yeah, no, I can't touch that. And I just remember the days of enjoying it, you know, just look down my throat that I'm so happy. I'm num, 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 nice, you know, and fish, right? And the fish, you know, lobster, conch. I spoke about that earlier, eating all these things, you know. But when they tell me, like, hey, don't touch it. If you can put the fish in your plate, take the head off. who liked fish head soup was me. I used to just get the group ahead and cook fish soup, you know. Now I don't do those things. It's been years and years because, you know, I'm respecting the taboo, and you know, I don't eat them, you know.
Right.
I don't eat them, you know. You know, I don't have sweet taboos, but I have, and I hear me, I why didn't they take away sweet from me? Sweet. You know, I like sweet. You know, I like sweets, but that's why I get the cravings late at night, the sweet cravings, right? And the thing about it is that I just noticing that, you know, every time I do it, and, you know, so I just like, oh, man, well, how much more are you going to suffer from this sweet craving thing which you have? You know what I mean? And, you know, and it's only because I eat it. I would eat it after the time that I, you know, I'm not supposed to be eating anything at all, you know. And that's, you know, and these are the things that, you know, so I just want the people to be more conscious, right? Because you know how they say about Obatala, Obatala puts the consciousness in our Ori, right?
Ashe.
To be conscious, that's right. To be conscious of what we're doing. Kenneth, Ashe Abuduboye. How are you, Agbato? My friend, how are you? Yeah. Thank you for the love, Ashe. Thank you for the love. Thank you too, Yaya, for the love. Thank you very much.
Yes, yeah.
And,
thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate you, you know. I mean, I can feel if I knew just from over the phone, hearing your voice and how you're talking. I feel if I knew. Isn't that something? It's a nice feeling. It's a nice feeling, very nice feeling. You can feel it, you can feel it. Yeah. Yeah, you know.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's called trust in Ifa, and you trust in Ifa, it gives you you know, people always tell me, you know, there's something different about you. I don't know what it is. And it's peace. It's peace.
That's
because you know
is.
You have that direction. You have that
That's
guidance. So you don't worry too much anymore, right?
But you want to hear a joke? I went home to the islands, right? You know, and you know, when I go home sometime, I put on my white all the time. You know, I wear my white as much as possible. And, you know, even I do wear white, and that's one of my mandates, you know, to, like, be wearing white a lot. So I always sleep in white, always, you know. And, but if I'm at, you see, look me, I got my whites on, you know, I got white underneath. You understand? It's just an overblouse on my shoulders. Don't feel too chilly. But I gave a classmate of mine a ride, right? And she looked at me. She said, oh, my God. She called me, you know, by my slave name. She said, Melba, oh, my God, Melba, you look so nice. What happened? You safe? She asked me if I'm saved, you know, like saved in the name of Jesus Christ, you know. I'm like,
right.
I just like, you could say that. You could say I'm saved,
right? Something like that.
But, you know, because she know me as being a ruffian from growing up in school, you know, beating up boys and whatnot.
That's the Ogun energy. That's the Ogun energy.
That's my dad, you know. She know me. She said, I even rough her up a couple of times. She couldn't believe it. She said, oh, wow, when you're giving me a ride, you're so cool, and your energy so nice. I'm like, you know. But that's my testimony when it comes to Orisha, even when I got, and I like to tell this story, because of when you know you need to be connected with these, the entities, the deities, the divinities, when you connect with them, they connect with you, right?
Okay.
When I was young, I would go to Sunday school. And every Sunday, I would go up when they say time to come up you know, confess your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I used to go up every Sunday. So one day the pastor pulled me aside, like, why do you go up there every Sunday? I said, because I don't feel anything. I don't feel change. I don't feel, you know, I don't feel like I saved. So I'm going to see, try next week and see if you get saved next week. So I never felt saved. Like, you know, even though I would go up there and I'm earnestly doing the whatever they say, repeating, yeah, I accept Jesus Christ and whatnot, but I never felt nothing. When I got crowned with Oshun Lukumi, oh my God. That's when I felt something. When they were putting those the ashe in my head, you know, I mean, you know, in Lukumi, there are different kinds of initiation, you know, because it got on your head, over your head, and in your head. If you understand what that means. On your head.
Yes, I do.
Is when they just hold the orisha on your head, right? The emblem, the icon, that's on your head. Over your head is when they just paint your head, and that's part of it. But in your head is when they cut in your head. A lot of people don't get cut in their head, but anyway, that's part of that. Yeah, that's part of that. And the people started crying. Boo, me too. I didn't even know what I was crying for. But everybody else started crying. No, for real, it was a bunch of boo people crying in there. I never know I wet down the whole front of my dress. I never know I could
have
so much tears. And that's the only time something like that ever happened to me, that I cried so much, you know. And it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And, you know, I felt, I'm getting chills now. I felt so, it's not easy to explain the feeling, but it was real, like I felt like my whole head opened up and Oshun just came, boom, and sat in me. That's how I felt. Yeah. I felt like something went inside of my body, you know, and I equate that to Oshun. I share my therapy.
And that sounds like initiating, because I always say when we, a lot of people think when we initiate to Orisha, it's for the Orisha to do for us, but we are initiating into the mysteries of the Orisha and taking on their Ashe and allowing their Ashe to work through us.
Ashe, man, you gonna make a bad awo, yalawo, whatever you're doing. I like it. All right, guys. Anybody else raise their hand? We're winding down to our last few minutes of our program today, and I want to give thanks and praise, you know, to everybody who got a message, who listened in, who got a message, who took it to heart, and would take it to heart and be even more cautious and conscious of what we do when we go to sit for a reading, whether it's with Ifa, whether it's with Orisha, even with your ancestors, you know, and don't play with the Orishas. You know, they're not like for pastime. They're not toys. You know, they're not things to just have, you know, to say that, oh, you know, you have Orisha. Because I know people right now, they initiated Orisha. They never want, even when they open up their pot, their icon to even see what's inside or give their Orisha any service or anything, any prayers, any gratitude, or even to take care of the icons in the way that we normally would take care of them. Okay? I know people like that right now. And they have many years Orisha, and all they did was have Orisha, and that was it. Okay? Okay? And, you know, it's it's interesting because then you wonder, like, okay, what did they stray from their path? Did they not pursue it enough? Did they not make the connection? Okay? And they find themselves, like, in the same place, stuck. When I say in the same place, like, you know, you start, you know how life go and you change? Okay? How drastic is it to me from being, like, somebody who is, like, a ruffian growing up among my peers? You know, I started a riot at my school and got expelled. A whole riot, you know. Yeah, a whole riot. And you won't believe, you know, you'd be like, no, she can't do a riot. No, she can't do a riot. But yes, okay, incite the whole school to rebel. Okay? And now, you know, I want to just give people a hug. I like laughing so much. You know, I like, you know, I like feeling joy. You know, I like sharing. And I want people to know that, hey, that's you know, these are the things that Orisha bring out of you when they embody themselves in you. Because everybody knows Ye Ye is about love. You know, Oshun is about love. Okay? She's about joy. She's about happiness, laughter, too. She got a serious side, but basically she's about love. Okay? So thank you all. Thank you all for listening. Thank you. Thank you, Yaya. Ifa Modupe. I love that.
Thank you for having me.
Ifa Modupe. Ashe. Oh, guess what? I'm Egumbemi. Ifa Po Unka. Ifa Po Unka, you know what that means? It means Ifa
say it again.
Ifa. Punka, Ifa Punka,
Ifa
P-O-U-N-K-A, yes. And listen, you see how we have in Kai at the N, my Odu is Ikafun, right? In Vudun, my Odu, the same thing, Safu, Safu, not Safu, I mean Kafu, Safu, I keep saying Safu, who's Safu? Oh my God, that's the guy I married, he's Safu. I'm Kafu, right? And incidentally, my Egyptian name is Kafu too.
Wow.
And that Egyptian name I got before I got Ifa, that Odu. You see what I mean? The same thing like how you were saying with the synchronicities with Oture Irete. You see? The same thing. Mm. Same thing, but that's how they do you. We know the secret, girlfriend. That's the secret.
Yeah.
I mean, you link
and it's
in.
Like no matter where
it's
you go, your purpose is what it is.
They're gonna show it. You're linked and it comes full circle. Full circle. You know? Even Ogun is very prominent in my Ifa. Ogun say, listen, let me put Oshun on the side for a change, because you need me right now.
Oshun was to cool you. That was to keep you cool. The Ogun was the one that sparked the riots. Yeah.
That's right. yes. You know, it's just beautiful, man. So people, you know, take a cue. You got two sisters here testifying about Ifa, what Ifa has done for them. Imagine, okay? Sis, you are very strong. I commend you so much, you know? I commend you so much how you handle your crisis, how you handle everything, you know? And, you know, who is to say because, and I'm so happy that you listened to the advice that Ifa tell you to cling to Olodumare Ashe because, okay, it could have been the other way. Some people want to die.
Absolutely.
When they, you know, things happen like that, they just feel like, okay, even if they want to die and they don't die, they still feel they act like they're not living anymore.
Absolutely.
You know, and
absolutely.
It could create a lot of mental disturbances too. So, you know, I commend you and I give Aoife all the praises, and your name says it. Your Aoife name says it all. Yeah, so Pa'unka means Aoife sanctions you to fight the wicked. That is
that's the reason why we why you have this platform, to bring awareness and to bring truth.
Now listen, I'm going to tell you, because when they said during my Aoife with the Lukumi, they said, you want some kind of work to do? Okay, I think it was Shango who was speaking. Shango was saying, have your own radio program. Have your anything with giving information to people. Do public speaking, even if you want to be in politics, go in that, because that is you. That's the way how you're going to do. You understand? So that's, you know, and it came full circle. But at the time, you know what I was thinking? I'm like, because I already know I was a spiritualist, and they told me that. They said, listen, you didn't need to get initiated to be a spiritualist. That's come from your bloodline. You didn't need to be initiated to know how to read people. Your bloodline, you come with that. But, right, they said, no, this is what you're going to be doing. You're going to be fighting the wicked. Then if I come and clarify it, what they meant by what they said. Aoife sanctions you to fight the wicked. And then the last is Egumbemi. So, you know, and, you know, I love it. I love living with the Oisha. I love it. Okay? So thank you all. Kenneth, you got to speak. I want to hear your voice next time, Colin, so you can talk, man. You know, our voices give resonance, you know. Our voices give off energy. Some people, they talk to you and you feel them. Like, oh my God. I'm feeling you, my sister. I'm feeling you. Okay? All right. Thank you, everybody. O'Neill. Thank you, Lichisha. Thank you, everybody. Okay. Talk to you all soon. It's been really nice. Next time, I don't know what we're going to be talking about yet, but I have a whole long platform of things to talk about. I have a whole bunch of things to talk about. And we're going to talk about these things another time. Thank you all very, very much.
Thank you for having me, Ego. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Talk to you next time. Hopefully, Ashe.
Okay, double.
Ashe, okay. Oh, double.